Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Investor's Journey Podcast. I am your host, Jonathan Barbera. And in this episode, this will be episode 31. So this is going to cover the contracts that we use to get properties under contract. So this is every time we go to meet with a homeowner and everything, these are the contracts that we have with us at all times. So as you can see back here, if you're watching this on YouTube or anywhere, these are the folders. They're pretty beat up, but I keep with me at all times in my car. I brought them down. They're always within an arm's reach of my car. And I have at any given time anywhere from 5 to 10 sets of all these contracts. I mean, I go to Office Depot and I just print out, 5 to 10 sets at a time of all the contracts I'm going to share with you right now, because I always need them. Always great to have them on you. I've spoken to people so many times and it blows my mind of how, when they get to a property, they're like, yeah, I was talking to the homeowner and they're excited with everything, but I didn't have any contracts. I mean, that is the worst thing that could happen, right? Because as you get a homeowner excited and you're building that rapport and everything's going great and you can close on it. You understand? Don't be that person that says, hey, yeah, all right, this is great. So, let's meet up tomorrow. And what are you going to say to them? Now you're giving them time to think. Now you're giving them time to shop around and look at things. Am I making the right decision? Is this correct? While they're hot, while they're interested, while you're selling them that they're excited to be talking to you, that's when you want to go ahead and close on it. That's why you always want to have the contracts with you at all times. I always have it with me. It doesn't matter where I am. The contracts are always with me. And what helps by having the packet with you is that you don't even have to think of what they need to sign. You literally just go one after another. It's easy-ish. I hate contracts. So that's why I'm laughing. Contracts are just one of my enemies. I mean, filling out paperwork in general is terrible for me. I don't go to the doctors because they make me fill out paperwork. I mean, I've left doctor appointments. So this is a funny little story. I go make a doctor appointment and they email me documents they want me to fill out. So that way, when I get to the appointment, I could just go in. I get to the appointment. I fill all this paperwork out, 45 pages, stupid shit. I send it in, everything. They got it. I go to the appointment. They give me another stack of 15 papers to fill out. I just left the papers and I just left. I was like, I'm not filling this shit out. I'm done. You understand? I hate contracts to that point. I hate filling out paperwork to that level. Nothing makes me more miserable. But it needs to be done and you need to know how to do it. So I'm going to go ahead and show you here what contracts we use and why we use them and how we use them. So this is going to be different if you're outside of Texas or depending where you are. In New York, where I was from, we close with attorneys and attorneys would draft up the contracts there. Haven't been there in 8 years doing real estate, so I don't know if it changed. But that's how it was back then, and I used to have a one-page contract that had the seller's name, my name, what the terms are, special provisions, any extra crap that we wanted to fill in, their signature, our signature, and then I'll send it into the attorney, and he would draft up his, 50-page special contract that was to go ahead and just build it out a little better, right? The rights to the seller and the buyer and all this. In Texas, we have, and I strongly recommend you use this, is the 1-4 family, 1-4 family residential contract, which we call the TREC, right? So this is the TREC 1-4 that we call it. TREC is for the Texas Real Estate Commission. And the reason we like using this contract, so I've seen a lot of gurus come to town and with their programs, they sell a package of contracts. The issue I have with those is that here in Texas, you close with title companies. And if a title company is not comfortable using that guru's unique contract, it becomes an issue. right? So it becomes an issue when you went through the trouble filling this all out, and then you go to the title company and you present the contract, and they're like, you know, their underwriters have an issue, or the title company has an issue. Somebody doesn't like the contract, and now you got to go back to the homeowner and redo the contract or change some things. Like, those things are never good to do, right? So the 104 is Texas contract, and every title company knows how to work with one. So this is why we like it. It's just less headaches. It covers all the bases, and every title company knows how to work with one. So definitely use the Texas 104. Texas 104 is very simple to, rather simple to fill out. Go through it, read it, try to understand it. If you don't understand something, ask somebody. You can always send me questions of whatever you're not understanding, but pretty much it's, you know, the seller's information, your information, the address, on the sale price section here. And I'm going to upload all these contracts so you guys have a PDF version of them. But you have the sales price portion that you put if it's all cash, or if you're doing a wrap addendum, which we're going to cover, you're going to put like see addendum on there. All of that, the earnest money amounts, who the title company is going to be. Then there's, in this contract, there's a lot of little negotiation points, right? So like number six, you have title policy and survey. So who's going to pay for the title policy? Who's going to pay for this to get done, right? So if usually, again, this is what I covered in other episodes, wholesalers tend to, in order to get the property on the contract, they'll put in that the buyer pays all closing costs. So on everything that pretty much says buyer's expense, you're going to check that box. Very simple. But if you're, like, we've negotiated deals where the homeowner is probably getting a nice chunk of money, then it's like, we'll split them, right? I'm not going to pay for everything. If you're getting paid very well, you know, we'll split the cost. Usually the buyer pays closing costs when the seller's really not getting anything. And that's really when you want to use that. But other than that, we'll split the cost with the homeowner because it helps us tremendously. So then you just go through the 104. It used to be 9 pages. They extended it now. They have, I don't know how many pages it's getting to now. But then you have your option fee in the back, your closing date. You're going to have information on here on when the property is supposed to be handed over. That's important because there's a lot of times... Perfect. This is the next one we're going to talk about. There's a lot of times where the homeowner says, hey, yeah, I want to sell and everything, but I need the money from the sale to be able to move. And this is something that a lot of wholesalers either don't know how to negotiate properly or end up screwing it up. Either way, they screw it up. So the right way to do that is to have what we have in our packet is a temporary residential lease in place. All right. Now, what this temporary residential lease does is we tell the homeowner, that's fine. How much do you need? I'll need like 2 weeks to move out. Okay, great. I'll give you 2 weeks for free, right? This is what we do. You don't have to give it for free. You can charge them whatever you want. It's completely up to you. But this is what we do. We'll give you 2 weeks for free to move out. I'll give you a real example. They were getting $20,000 from the sale of the house. So we're like, $10,000 is going to go to you. We're going to hold back $10,000 ourselves. So, and you'll get 2 weeks for free. Once you move out, we'll write you that check for the remaining $10,000 and you're good to go. We're all done. You have your full $20,000. The reason we hold back the $10,000 or a substantial amount that, you know, it's going to make them want to leave is because of that reason. When I first started, I would tell people, all right, that's fine. You can have 2 weeks. And because there was no financial reason for them to really move, because they got all their money and everything and they're happy, they were just kind of dragged their feet. Right. And then 2 weeks go by and they're not even anywhere close to being out. And then the buyer that I wholesaled it to is calling me like, hey, when am I going to get the property? That they're not out yet. Now they got to go through the problem and the trouble of trying to push them out and get them out, maybe evict them. I mean, it becomes a huge headache and a huge pain in the ass. So don't do that to your buyer and don't do that to yourself if you're the buyer. put a temporary residential lease. And what we do is after the 2 weeks, so we give you 14 days to move out. On day 15, if you're not out, we're charging you $100 a day. And that's coming directly out of the 10 grand or whatever amount of money that we're already holding back. Trust me, nothing motivates them quicker. So this person that we did a deal with that we had held back 10 grand, we told them, we're charging you $100. We give them 2 or 3 weeks to move out. He wasn't out. All right, we started deducting. It took him 3 days to move everything out when he had like 2 weeks to move everything out. In three days, he got it all done. And it cost him $300 to do it. We didn't give him the full 10 grand, right? Because it's in the contract. You need that motivation. So the temporary residential lease is very, very useful for that. And it's also very useful as a negotiation tactic because there's a lot of homeowners that they need that money to move. So you being able to say, hey, I'm not only going to buy the house, but I'm going to give you the money that you're going to need so you can go ahead and move out and the time you're going to need so you can go ahead and move out. That's huge for a lot of homeowners. They're ecstatic every time we offer them that. But again, to protect ourselves or our buyer, we got to hold something back. And you move out before then, as soon as you move out, you get your full amount, right? So you say 2 weeks and you move out in 4 days, great. You understand? Because what you got to understand, what you got to think for is yourself or your buyer is that there's holding costs as soon as the property closes, right? If they borrow their money, there's money costs as soon as the property closes. So all of that cost, we're eating. You understand? So we can't have you just sitting there eating up our costs without us being able to get in, renovate the property, and move forward. So this is something that it helps you. It helps the homeowner. It helps your buyer. Keep it in your packet. We use this a lot. I've used it 2 times in the last month alone. It's a great, great, great tool to use. Then this is something that we get from our title company. You can get this from your title company. I recommend you do. And this is pretty much a seller's information form. So this is from the title company that we use, Capital Title. This form, what they're going to do on there is they're going to fill out their mortgage information, their full name, their social security number, if they have spouse. They have everybody because title needs to run a background on these people to make sure there aren't any liens on the property. So the more information a homeowner can give, the more they're going to be able to filter them out, right? Because if their name is John Smith, there's a million John Smiths, you know, they got to be able to filter them out by address, by people they're married to, by their social security number, by all these things to be able to see, okay, are there any liens on this person from the house that you're buying? And then also, this also allows them to get payoff from the bank, reinstatements, if it's a foreclosure or any of that. Very, very useful, very necessary, and it helps out your title company a ton. This is something that I think we did one already where I told you guys, like, don't depend on your title company to get it done. There's a lot of people that, you know, a deal goes south and they're like, well, my title company never called me. It's your responsibility. Like, you're the one that needs to be hassling your title company. Hey, do you guys have everything? Hey, do you need anything? Is there anything missing? Do I need to contact the owner? Do I need to, you know, because you're the one that has the rapport built with the seller. And if you let the title company kind of step in and do it, they're not as caring and helpful as you are. So they may just call them once or twice or whatever. And a lot of times what happens is the homeowner doesn't recognize the number. They won't answer it. If you didn't tell them that the title company will be reaching out, they won't even know what the hell is going on. So it creates a big problem when it comes time to actually following through and closing on the deal. So I recommend just get into communication with your title company. Work it out with them. Make sure you have all the documentation that they would need. This way, when you send them everything, they can just go ahead and just get it done. Get it done quick. They got all the information. They don't even need to contact the seller. They just get it done, and it closes with no problems. This is why a lot of title companies like working with us and why we get a lot of preferential treatment is because we make sure we sit down with them. We meet with our escrow officers and everybody, and we say, okay, what is it that you guys need from us? How is it that you want the contracts filled out? What kind of wording? These are the strategies we use. How do you like to handle those strategies, right? So, like, we want to have a good dialogue with them because we don't want any holdups, especially when you need to close fast on a property. You don't want any holdups. The next one is the wraparound addendum. So outside of Texas, there's a lot of states that they allow you to do lease options, which are awesome to do. But in Texas, you know, there's some people say you still can. I haven't seen anybody that has. I'm still looking for people that have done them, but haven't. So this is the next best thing. And this one is one that has been drafted by our attorney. So he created one of these for us. And he's our attorney and the title company that we use. And this is a wraparound addendum that pretty much allows you to do subject to transactions. Right. So this is allowing you. So when you have when you're doing a subject to on a property on the sell portion of the track, that's where you put C addendum and you'll fill this one out. And on this one, that's when you put, you know, that you're maybe catching up payments. They're behind a certain amount. You're to who the lender is. You fill out all that information in there. And that's how you're going to take over the financing from the homeowner. This works when homeowners have a loan with banks, not with credit unions or like a personal investor, like a private investor that done a known finance or something like that, because they'll usually, you know, they pay a lot more attention and they won't probably allow this to go through. So, but a wraparound addendum, this is something we always keep in place. So whenever we do a subject to deal, we always have this in our bag so we can get it done. And last but not least, this is something we always leave with the homeowner and try to get it back within a few days. It is the seller's disclosure notice. So this is like 4 or 5 pages where the homeowner is going to go through and put everything they're aware of what the house has, right? Does it have everything from like dishwashers to oven to central AC to foundation issues, shingle roof, asbestos siding, whatever they know or don't know, they got to fill it out. You cannot help them. They got to be able to fill it out on their own. And that's something that you always need to close. Seller's disclosure is always a big document to close. I'm going to be uploading all of these PDF versions onto the show notes. So then you guys can have them as well. So we have these at all times. These are going to pretty much take care of the bulk of everything you're going to need to do when you're getting a property under contract. I don't want to go into deeper detail on every single one, how to fill them out, because we'll be here for hours. If you have any questions, once you review them on how to fill them out, let me know. Send in the question and I'll reply to you and answer how we fill them out and stuff like that. Again, none of this is financial advice or whatever. It's none of that crap, okay? This is just the stuff that we use and how we do it. If you want legal advice or anything, go talk to an attorney. This is just how we run our properties, how we get our properties on the contract. So I hope this helps. And before we end, I wanted to cover and let you guys know again about the Black Sheep Open Golf Tournament. We're getting a lot of signups, a lot of people coming in, a lot of golfers. If you've played putt-putt or Top Golf, you're going to have a blast because there's a ton of games here that you're going to be able to play, prizes. Everybody that attends gets free drinks, free food, a bunch of cool swag. All the sponsors give away a lot of crazy stuff, a lot of cool stuff. There's a lot of games. You'll have a great time and great networking for anybody in the real estate space. And all the proceeds, every penny made, goes to Homes for Our Troops. They build adaptive homes for wounded vets. I mean, our vets, they risk so much for us, and this is just a little way that we can give back. We are a nonprofit, so everything is tax deductible that you spend, so it could help you out there. And again, it's a great cause, September 14th, but the deadline is at the end of this month, so get to signing because we're already filling up. So if you want to play, you want to volunteer, or maybe you want to sponsor, go to blacksheepopen.com and sign up. Now, on everything else, I am done. So I will catch you guys on the next episode. love your feedback. I love your ratings. So I'm so happy you guys are enjoying this. Any questions, anything, reach out to me wherever you're listening to this. Comment below or tag me or whatever and ask me whatever questions you want. So thank you for listening. I'll catch you in the next one.